Now, deep breath. This has been a heartbreakingly difficult week. Flo's sudden tragic death sits heavily upon each of us. The grief and the disbelief are profound, palpable. In a small community like Jackson and a personality as big as Flo's, no one is untouched by this loss. Words feel inadequate as we sit together in this pain. And so we grieve together. We show up for one another. And we hold space, however imperfectly, for Brian and for Tanner and for Annabelle and for one another in the only way we know how. I don't know about you, if you were here yesterday, I was overwhelmed with the outpouring of love and support that we received from across this community. When we made our call out for helpers for yesterday's service, people brought food, they moved furniture, they set tables, they made flower arrangements. It was unbelievable. And there were hundreds of people here, way more than any Easter or Christmas that I've ever seen. It was overwhelming and beautiful. And my gosh, the food, you'll see some of it today. There's just like such an abundance of food. And this, my friends, this is what love looks like in action. We all feel the need to do something. It doesn't take away from the grief or the sense of helplessness, but it gives us a tangible way to show our love. It's truly beautiful. And I am deeply grateful to be a part of a community that really shows up for one another. Thank you. Thank you. Grief disorients us. It throws us off balance. The world that made sense yesterday doesn't feel recognizable today. One of the cruelest parts of sudden loss is all the unfinished I love yous and the unspoken goodbye, the words we didn't get to say, the hugs we didn't know were the last, the ordinary moments, the text, the visit, the small kindnesses that suddenly become sacred in retrospect. And we wonder, did I tell her I loved her enough? Did he really know how deeply he was loved? We carry those questions with us, and they hurt. Oh God, they hurt, and they're part of our grief, part of our love, part of this sacred ache that we share today. The gospel reading for today are words I've read many, many times, but this week they hit me differently. They hit me right in the gut. Honestly, I've tended to gloss over these verses quickly in the past. They're difficult at the best of times, but this week, in this moment, I couldn't turn away from them. I couldn't avoid them. Jesus is approached by a man who says, "I will follow you, but first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus responds with words that feel almost unthinkable in the shadow of our own grief. The traditional translation says, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Jesus denies this young man's request to go home and bury his father before joining Jesus on the road. In the Message translation that we heard this morning, the words are softened a little bit. First things first, your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. Announce God's kingdom. But even with those gentler words, Jesus still refuses the man's request. I've always struggled to really understand Jesus' intent here, but none of the interpretations that I've read or thought of over the years worked for me particularly, hence the ignoring the passage whenever I could. His words are provocative, perhaps meant to unsettle us, but this week, standing in the midst of such intense and fresh loss, they cut especially deep. They feel cruel. Has he no heart? What is he actually saying? Buck up, move on, get over it? This young man just wants to bury his father, and is that too much to ask? But this doesn't sound like the Jesus I know. So I found myself really sitting with these words. And the longer I sat with them in prayer and silence and grief, I began to hear something beneath the perceived harshness, something tender, something real and honest. Now, before I go any further, I want to be very clear. This isn't about glorifying pain. Grief is not something God desires for us. Suffering isn't virtuous in and of itself. This isn't some shallow statement that pain makes us stronger or that everything happens for a reason, but the old one, God never gives you more than you can handle. That's nonsense. It's all nonsense. The truth is far simpler, but far harder. Pain is part of being alive in a world where we dare to love deeply. And when that pain comes, we're allowed to feel the full weight of our sorrow. We're allowed to name it, to sit with it, to not rush past it. And we're allowed to let others walk beside us, hold us, and help us carry what feels like too heavy a burden to carry alone. No, allowed isn't really the right word. We must. We must if we hope to move forward and to begin to heal. This journey that we're taking, this life's journey, isn't about a swift recovery by sheer force of will. It's about embracing what Paul calls the profound freedom that God has given us to love deeply, to feel passionately and joyfully and sorrowfully. Thank you. Thank you, God. Paul tells us, for freedom, Christ has set us free. This freedom means we don't have to pretend we're whole or rush our healing or conform to anyone's expectations of how we should grieve. It's the freedom to walk honestly in our brokenness. And how do we walk in that freedom, especially when our hearts are heavy? Paul encourages us to live by the Spirit. When we let the Spirit guide our steps, even through that shadowed valley, we begin to see the fruits of that Spirit blossom. Love, which is so fully alive in this community. Peace and tranquility that transcends understanding, even amidst pain and turmoil. Patience and compassion as we allow grief its own unfolding. Kindness and generosity, which we've seen in such abundance this week. Loving one another as we love ourselves. Recognizing all that is holy within one another. They are the gifts that grow as we keep walking down this path, held by God and by one another. Jesus meets us at this trailhead, standing at the edge of what feels like too much, and invites us forward. Not a promise that life will be easy, just the opposite, in fact. Jesus asks this man if he's ready to face the road ahead, to face the risks and the losses and the uncertainties. Are you ready for a rough road? Are you ready to love in a world where loving always carries the risk of sorrow? All right, then, come along with me. We'll walk together. I will be with you in your grief, feeling the grief alongside you. Jesus knows this road only too well. He sets his face toward Jerusalem. He walks forward knowing full well that suffering lies ahead. He walks into grief, not around it. He walks toward pain, not away from it. And he asks those who would follow him to be prepared, eyes open, to walk with that same hard, walk that same hard road beside him. Not because he wants them to suffer, us to suffer, but because he understands that this is the cost of deep love. To love deeply is always to risk deeply. And when tragedy strikes, as it has for us, we feel the cost of that love most acutely. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't sacrifice the joy and power and beauty of love for any amount of comfort and ease. That is too high a price to pay. So let yourself feel the whole spectrum of emotions. We don't need to rush past our grief. We don't need to silence it or sanitize it or dress it up with false happiness and hope. Grief takes us to our knees. It makes us vulnerable and raw, but it is a part of life and love. And love is the most sacred thing I know. So pain and grief are sacred too. Jesus doesn't call us to leave our pain behind, to walk away without so much as a goodbye. He calls us to carry it with us because it is a part of us. And he reminds us to walk that walk together, helping one another to continue down that road. He reminds us to keep proclaiming life, even when hope feels fragile and our voices tremble. Keep choosing love, even when our hearts are breaking. There is room for our sorrow. We're not asked to pretend we're whole. We're simply invited to take the next step, however small, however uncertain, and know that we're not alone. Every act of love and grief, every memory, every prayer, every story shared of Flo, of Michael, of Rich, of Doug, of Randy, or Roger, all those we have loved who have left this earth, every memory, prayer, and story becomes a proclamation of how deeply we have loved and that we ourselves are deeply loved. The work of God, the life of this community, continues even in our pain. It's not postponed until we feel better. It's here now in our unfinishedness. We proclaim life not because we are unbroken, but because God is present even in our brokenness. We carry grief forward as a witness to life and love. We set our faces toward love, not because the way is easy, not because there's no pain, but because love remains steadfast and because God loves us and walks with us step by step even now, because love is sacred. Amen.